Picture the world's most exquisite pour-over coffee. Hand-picked Colombian beans brewed with pristine Canadian spring water. Now, imagine the worst gas station sludge imaginable, thick as motor oil. Between these extremes stretches an endless table representing humanity's moral spectrum, from Mother Teresa to history's worst villains. But here's the twist. Add a single drop of cyanide to every cup. Which would you choose? None, because regardless of quality, all are equally deadly. This stark image captures something we'd rather not face. No amount of goodness can overcome fundamental corruption. We love comparing ourselves to others, finding comfort in being better than someone else. But that's like choosing between poisoned drinks. The outcome remains the same. This understanding transformed Paul of Tarsus, once Christianity's fiercest enemy. Born wealthy, educated under renowned rabbis, he witnessed Stephen's brutal stoning and hunted believers with zealous fury. Yet during a Damascus Road journey, he encountered the very God he thought he was defending. His dramatic reversal, from persecutor to passionate advocate, left everyone dumbfounded. Like the experimental Ebola serum that snatched missionaries from death's door in 2014, the gospel offers rescue when all seems lost. That's not fair. Comes naturally, because humans obsess over fairness, especially for ourselves. From line cutters to devastating injustices, a Detroit boy shot while sleeping, Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 with 298 passengers shot down with zero accountability, 8-year-old Yuri in Peru brutally murdered while wealthy perpetrators walked free. When systems protect the powerful instead of the vulnerable, despair flourishes. Every government system fails because people fail. Judges face impossible challenges. They weren't present at crime scenes, must rely on manipulable testimony, and cannot discern intent. The Innocence Project has freed 316 wrongfully convicted people, exposing these failures. We need an impartial, incorruptible judge with perfect abilities. Only God qualifies. Omnipresent, omniscient, all-powerful, and incorruptible. Yet here's the terrifying paradox. Our souls long for perfect justice while we should fear it. A perfect judge condemns all imperfection. Since we're all tainted, we all deserve judgment. Before his perfect judgment, we stand condemned. 33 miners trapped in the San Jose mine collapse faced certain death without intervention. Like them, we cannot rescue ourselves. Our condemnation began in Eden, when sin created an impassable barrier between humanity and God. Yet even in pronouncing judgment, God revealed the first glimpse of rescue, Genesis 3:15, promising that woman's offspring would crush the serpent's head. Abraham's journey to Mount Moriah demonstrated profound transformation from fearful trickster to man of deep faith. When God commanded him to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham obeyed, even preparing the wood himself, an agonizing task. Yet his statement to servants, "We will come right back," reveals underlying trust that God would provide a way out. God indeed provided a substitute sacrifice, foreshadowing his own rescue plan, no price too high to save those he loved. Though Abraham died, God's promise continued. When Jacob's family moved to Egypt during famine, they eventually multiplied so rapidly that Pharaoh enslaved them. Moses was born during Pharaoh's decree to murder Hebrew baby boys, yet miraculously survived, raised in the very palace that ordered his death. When Moses encountered the burning bush, God introduced himself as I Am, the timeless, infinite creator, revealing himself to finite man. The Israelites felt forsaken as they were led to Babylon in chains, homes destroyed, families slaughtered, treasures pillaged. This catastrophe hadn't come without warning. After conquering Canaan under Joshua, they failed to complete God's task, allowing Canaanite influence to pull them into idolatry. Despite prophets' warnings, they cycled through apostasy until God allowed Assyria and Babylon to devastate their divided nation. When Elisha's servant panicked at being surrounded by an enemy army, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." Suddenly, the servant saw the hillside teeming with a fiery, angelic army far more powerful than their enemies. Nothing had changed except his perspective. The heavenly forces had been there all along. Isaiah prophesied during Israel's darkest period, revealing a coming savior who would heal the blind and lame, yet be despised and rejected. When John the Baptist, imprisoned and doubting, sent a disciple to ask if Jesus was truly the Messiah, Jesus pointed to his works, the blind seeing, the lame walking, the dead raised, fulfilling Isaiah's centuries-old prophecies. Though John remained physically chained, this perspective freed him from doubt's prison. Our culture obsesses over superheroes, stronger, faster, smarter than ordinary humans, driving billions in movie sales. Yet Samson, the biblical character with the most superhuman powers, was one of Scripture's biggest failures. God's rescue plan would take a different approach. After 400 years of prophetic silence, a voice cried in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." When Nicodemus sought Jesus under darkness, Jesus shattered his theology. "Unless you are born again, you can never see the kingdom of God." This revealed the true gospel, not what humans could do for God, but what God had done for them. On the Sea of Galilee, disciples fought to keep their boat afloat during a violent storm. Terror gripped them when they spotted a figure walking across turbulent water. Christ's voice thundered, "It's all right, I am here, don't be afraid." Peter asked to join Jesus and briefly succeeded until fear overwhelmed faith. As he began sinking, Jesus immediately reached out, "Why did you doubt me?" After the Passover feast, as crucifixion approached, Jesus demonstrated true heroism by focusing on others rather than himself. He prepared his disciples, instituted communion, and prayed for future believers. Just as Abraham once walked up Mount Moriah with Isaac carrying wood for his own sacrifice, God watched his son carry the cross toward Calvary. Unlike Abraham, who received a substitute, God allowed his perfect son to become the ultimate sacrifice. Death claims everyone, regardless of wealth or status. Throughout history, people have developed theories about the afterlife, creating religions and philosophies to address mortality. But these remain theories, except for Christianity. Jesus uniquely died, remained dead 3 days, and returned, defeating death itself. Christianity offers eyewitness testimony from someone who crossed death's threshold and returned. 10 historical facts about Jesus' resurrection are accepted by virtually all scholars. Jesus died by crucifixion and was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's sealed tomb. The disciples fell into chaos. The tomb was found empty. Disciples genuinely believed they saw the risen Christ and transformed from fearful hiding to boldly facing brutal deaths. They preached resurrection in Jerusalem where eyewitnesses could verify claims. The Christian church was born and continues today. Early Christians abandoned Saturday Sabbath for Sunday worship, and James, Jesus' skeptical brother, was transformed after witnessing the resurrection. Skeptics' theories fail under scrutiny. Stolen body theories contradict the disciples' willingness to die for their beliefs. Wrong tomb theory would have been quickly corrected. Swoon theory ignores Roman execution expertise. The resurrection stands as history's most verified miracle. While we love stories of defying impossible odds, some missions truly are impossible, like our contamination by sin and inevitable death. Facing God's perfect justice leaves two responses: trying to solve our spiritual problem ourselves or accepting God's rescue plan. Every world religion and humanism shares the same root, the belief we can manage our own spiritual fate. But God's alternative is simple. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No cleaning up required first. Christ's work offers more than forgiveness. It provides imputation. When we accept God's rescue plan by faith, our sin is exchanged for Christ's perfect righteousness. Like a struggling student receiving Harvard's valedictorian transcript, we receive Christ's perfect record. True repentance isn't groveling, but complete rejection of self-reliance. God's forgiveness is perfect because He exists outside time. When He forgives at the cross, He forgives every failure, past and future. If I have a perfect day through my own discipline, I take credit and judge others. But when I acknowledge complete dependence on God, any victory belongs to Him. Romans 8 begins with a crucial reminder: there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. The gospel offers something radically different: complete dependence on the one who already completed the rescue. Your move isn't to earn salvation, but to accept it.